Hallelujah. So we believe that he is helping us now and helping us to get what we need. So let's turn over to Exodus 15, 26. We've been in a series for several weeks called The Lord Our Healer. Now we preach on healing, faith and healing on Wednesdays. And we've done that since we started Wednesday services almost 5 years ago. But just felt impressed to speak on this here as well. I mean, it's not like we won't ever speak on it on Sundays as well, but we do focus on it. If you need healing in your body and you're believing for something, that's the place you ought to be. And if you can't make it, I would at least listen to it online. Those messages are all available. That link in your bulletin will direct you to the archive site. All our messages are available on there, and it will help. It will be a blessing to you. But the best thing is to be here in person. There's something, it's different when you're here in person. It's different. The anointing is here. Ministering directly to you in real time. Exodus 15, 26. Everybody there? Exodus 15, 26 says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Now we focus on that last part of that verse. He says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." In the New American Standard Bible, it says, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." I am your healer. Now that word, or what it's translated, the Lord, your healer, that's Jehovah Rapha in Hebrew. And what that word, Jehovah, is Lord. Rapha means there, so it's the Lord, and then it has this modifier here, Rapha. It means to cause to heal. It means physician. It means to repair thoroughly or to make whole. That's what that word is meaning. That's what it's talking about there. We're talking about the Lord who, when it says the Lord who heals us, the other parts of that are bringing that out more fully means the Lord our physician, the Lord our doctor, you could say, the Lord who repairs us, the Lord who heals us, the Lord who makes us whole. That's the idea. So you can see that this is one of the aspects of God is being brought out here. He's the Lord that wants our bodies to function the way they were created to function. When you look at to make whole, to repair thoroughly. You can repair something, but do just kind of a halfway job. It sort of works. You know, you still have pieces on the floor. Don't know where they go, but it kind of works. So, okay, let's go. That's not repairing thoroughly. You know, God wants us to be able to do everything that he's called us to do. And you don't have to put up with a halfway job. There are certain things that we don't just have to put up with, well, it's not that bad, I'll just live with it. That's not God's best. I mean, we're talking about the Lord, the Almighty, he can do anything. And why would you think, well, he can do this part, but I'll just put up with this other part? We don't have to put up with it. Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. If we believe, well, you know, I really need this done, but I don't really need this other thing done, well, you can live with it, but we don't have to. God's best and highest is for us to just walk in divine health. Just be fully functional, fully well, be able to do everything. Why? So that we can do everything he's called us to do. It's not God's will for us to be hurt in any way or to be in bed or to be not fully functional. That doesn't glorify him. That doesn't help anybody. Amen. It doesn't help anybody for us to be less than fully functional. It is his will for us to be completely and totally well. Now, we've already covered several aspects these last several weeks. So if you didn't hear the messages, I encourage you, go back, listen to them, because we're building on they build on each other, and we can't possibly go back review everything. But coming from where we came last week, we're going to review and kind of segue into this next part. But we talked several weeks ago about who will God heal. And we went through and showed over and over how God healed all. God healed everybody that came to him in faith. Now, he didn't just go heal everybody because he couldn't. We're not going to get into that today. That may be another message. But you say, well, he couldn't? He couldn't. Not wouldn't. He couldn't. You say, well, he's God. Yeah, he's God. He doesn't make everybody get saved either. The people that are going to go to hell, and it's not God's will. Y'all there?
Yes.
People are going to go to hell, which is way worse than your body not being healed. You can forget about your body a long time ago once you've been in hell for 1,000 years. You don't want anybody to go to hell. Hell is for the devil and his angels. It's not made for human beings. But the devil's going about deceiving. Anybody that listens to him and doesn't receive Jesus is going to go to the same place that he's going. Not because God willed it, because God gave us a free will. Well, it's the same thing. If we don't receive what he's doing, Jesus, there were places he went and they would not receive. Like his hometown, for instance, he could only do a little bit there. Said he could do no mighty work. Not he didn't on purpose. Wanted to. He could not. Could not. Could not. Like I said, I'm not going to get into that now. But we saw how Jesus went about and he healed all in a lot of places. People that when they came to him for healing, there wasn't one he ever turned away and said, nah, it's not my will. It's not your time. Please go away. They never do that. So we went we talked about how Christ was being preached and what that word Christ means and how part of the gospel, and we're going to get into this more fully today, part of the gospel, healing is part of that. Now go ahead and look on your sheet because we already took time to turn there. But I want to read this before we go there. This is from F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer. It's a great book. It's been around for 100 years, probably around there. But if you don't have it, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, I encourage you. It's a good book. He said both invitations, he's talking about the invitation to be saved, the invitation to be healed, are always universal. And the results are always positively promised. We went through that where we said there's multiple scriptures where it says, if any are sick in James, we're going to maybe touch on that again today. If any are sick among you, well, how could you give that invitation unless it was God's will for everybody to be healed? You saw Jesus went about healing all. There's just multiple places where you couldn't. If it's not his will to heal everybody, the scripture doesn't make any sense. But both invitations are always universal and the results are always positively promised. Shall be saved, shall have life, shall recover, shall raise them up, healed them all, and as many as touched him were healed. Sometimes parents show favoritism among their children, but God does not. When we meet the same conditions, we reap the same results. Amen. When we do our part, God is always faithful to do his part. The benefits of redemption are for you. If God healed all, then he still heals all. That is, all that come to him for healing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. And we talked about, got into some of that, how God is willing to heal everybody. And look on your sheet, Acts 8:5. Here, it talks about Philip preaching Christ at Samaria. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. There was great joy in that city. You imagine there would be. Great joy. All the people getting set free. But notice, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached what to them? Christ. Didn't say that he preached healing. What? Because Christ, wrapped up in Christ, is healing. Now, before I go to the next verse, I'll just read this. together Christ itself, and we touched on this last time, but that word Christ is a transliteration of the Greek word Christos. So what it is it's not a translation of the Greek. It just is a word that sounds. It's like saying the Greek word with an English accent. That's all people did. So the actual meaning gets lost. Christ doesn't mean anything to us, does it? You know of an English word Christ? No. What does that mean? Well, it's Jesus' last name. No, it's not. It's associated with Jesus. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a word. It's not an English word. In other words, it's a Greek word that just is said in English. It's a transliteration. So it's blind to us. But the word actually, that Greek word, Christos, means the anointed one. Now that means something to it. Do you know what anoint means? Anoint means to dump. Like if I anoint you with oil, it's not really, if you talk about that in the Bible, it's not really to do a little dab, it's to dump it on you. If I anoint you, like if you were to say, you know, when a football team wins a game, those players are anointing the coach with Gatorade. Well, that means something to us. Okay, I get it. Well, Jesus is the anointed one. That's what Christ means. When you see Jesus Christ, what you're saying is Jesus the anointed one. That's what it means. See, that means something to us. That's English. So if you just, when you read the Bible, every time you see Christ, if you'll replace it with the anointed one, it'll make more sense to you. If you see Jesus, see Jesus Christ, say Jesus the anointed one. Christ Jesus, the anointed one, Jesus. You see Christ, he's the anointed one. That'll mean something. What's he anointed with? Well, in Hebrews 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Let's just take the minute to turn over there because I don't have it on your sheet. Acts 10:38. You guys are believing that we're going to get the right thing this morning, right? Amen. So we'll just flow with God. Acts 10:38. That's why we need a Bible, so we can just turn there, right? Acts 10:38. Anybody there? Still hear some pages. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Let's read it again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Spirit and with power. What did he do with the Holy Spirit and power? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Right there, you know what's good and you know what's bad. Who's doing the good? Jesus. Who's doing the bad or the oppression? The devil. Right here, it calls sickness satanic oppression. Now, I'm not saying every form of sickness is a devil, but the source of it is the devil. In other words, yes, we understand germs and different mutations, whatever. How did it get here? The devil. How did it get into the earth? Well, it just happened. No, there was a cause. Adam was not created with this. He wasn't created to die. You can see that very clearly because he lived over 900 years. That's fact. People say, well, that's a story. No, that's true. We've come a long way down. So our bodies were not originally humans. After the flood, tapered off a lot. Around 120 years, and you still see that today. You know, people claim higher, whatever, but you just look around. People get to 120, and it's not just a heart. I mean, maybe a little more or less, but it's right around there. But that's not how men were created originally, in the original environment of the earth. But sin entered the earth, and with sin, sickness. They're all tied in the same package. So right here, you see that sickness is associated with the devil. You don't have to even go. If you just had this one verse, you could know it's not God's will for us to be sick. Amen. It's not God keeping us sick. Sickness is in the earth. The devil is the author of all sickness, directly or indirectly, in any given case. But God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It's God's will that we be well and healed and whole. So that word that's translated Christ means the anointed one. It comes from the verb. The verb it comes from means to anoint. It translates the Hebrew word Messiah. So it's not a title. It means Jesus. Jesus Christ, like we said, means Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Anointed One, emphasizing the fact that the man Jesus was God's Anointed One, the promised Messiah. So when we go and we look at here in Acts 8, you look at your sheet or just turn, we were there, but go back there. Should just be a few chapters from where you are. Acts 8, 5. Or no, we didn't. Sorry, we were just looking on our sheet. You can turn there, look on your sheet, either one. We were on our sheet before. And then it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. Well, what does that mean? He preached the anointed one to them. What does that mean? He's preaching something about healing to them. But why would you say that? Look at verse 6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So they heeded what he was saying, and he's performing miracles. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. But he's preaching Christ to them. He's preaching the gospel. Now look at Acts 14. You can turn there, you can just look on your sheet. Acts 14, verse 8. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Now, he's hearing Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. See, what is he hearing? He's hearing something about being healed. Because Paul looks at him and said, this guy has faith to be healed. Well, how did he get that? Just out of the blue? See, some people don't understand. Faith just doesn't drop on you. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17 says. Hearing what? There it says hearing the word of Christ. What's Christ? It's the anointed one. So this man is hearing something, and it is putting faith in him. Paul observes him, sees that he has faith to be healed, and with a loud voice he says, stand straight up on your feet. He can't do that. He's never done that. Ever. Never. Ever. He can't walk. From his mother's womb. He says, stand up straight on your feet. Now notice, I don't want to go off on this, but notice the man, Paul said the man had faith to be healed. He could see it. He could see the man had faith. And see, some people read this and say, you know, Paul told him and somehow it just happened to the man. No, the Bible says he had faith to be healed. Paul recognized it and he said, stand up. He can't stand up. He has to act on what Paul's been saying. It's an action. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit stood him up. It says he stood up. The man is crippled. The man cannot walk, has never walked. If you tell a crippled man, if you were to see a crippled person on the street and say, hey, get out of that wheelchair, most people are going to tell you, I can't. Or they're going to tell you something else, because who are you and why are you telling them that? Huh? Yep. Most people's response aren't going to be to get up. You would have to believe something in order to get up. Well, now, if you told them the gospel and the Holy Spirit led you and you told them the gospel, you told them about healing and they said, I believe that, they would have to act. See, this is an act. People lose it. They think it's just being done independently of the person. It's not. It's a response. The word is being preached. This man believes it, and he says, and then when Paul says, stand up, he said, all right, I can do that. Well, he's never, ever done it. Something changed in his mind to now believe that he could. What was it? He heard the gospel. He heard Christ. He heard Jesus. He heard the anointed one. He heard that the word that Jesus had paid for this. And he said, all right. He's never walked. This is not a small miracle. It's in a small thing. But the thing is, it's not just happening to him. He received it. And he got up. And when he started to get up, the power of God hit him, made his legs strong, and he's getting up. That's the way it works. He leapt and walked. He can't do that. But now he can. Because he believed. What he believed. Now turn over to Romans 1:16. So what I want to get into, what is being preached? And what does that gospel, the gospel of Christ, I want to get into some things concerning that. Romans 1:16. It's on your sheet too. Romans 1:16. Everybody there? Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Notice what he says, I am not ashamed of the good news of the gospel of Christ. Now we talked about what Christ means. What does it mean? The anointed one. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the anointed one, Jesus. For that gospel, that good news about the anointed one is the power of God unto or to salvation. Now we're going to talk about that. For everyone who what? Believes. It's not for everyone. It's potentially for everyone, but it's not the power of God unto everyone. It's only for those who believe. Amen. Amen. Now, it's potentially, the power is there, but the way you release the power is to believe. Amen. Len, can you go back to the lights back there? Now, the power in this building, the electricity is supplied to this room, comes to this building, and it's supplied in this room. Right? Now, Len, if you turn those lights off, the power is still supplied to the room, but there's no light. You turn them back on. What just happened when he flipped those switch? That switch. It let the power flow to these lights. But you couldn't say that moment that the lights were dark, no power here. The power's here, but it's only going to affect this room if we flip that switch. That's faith. See, the power of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power to those who believe. The power is here. Jesus has provided it, but it won't make it to people unless they believe. In other words, you can't be saved without faith. You can't be healed without faith unless it's a move of the Spirit. But you can always be healed by faith. You don't have to wait for a manifestation of the Spirit of God. We're not talking about spiritual gifts today. We may at a different time, but not today. And we have actually some on Wednesday talking about this very thing. In the series that we just finished up about your words in relation to faith, or relation to healing, go back and listen to that, because we touch on the gifts of the Spirit be in operation versus you just receiving things by faith. You can always receive healing by faith. You can't control the gifts of the Spirit. And some people believe they're waiting on God, and if you're waiting for a gift of the Spirit, you can't control it. You say, why does that operate in certain ways? Why does this happen and this happen as far as the specific operation of the gifts of the Spirit? I don't know. I'm not God. Ask Him. But if we're waiting for something to happen and waiting and thinking maybe this day something will happen independent of us believing, we could be waiting our whole life. But if we'll act in faith, we can always do that and we can always receive results. So faith is the switch that lets the power flow. So he says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the good news of the anointed one, for it is the power of God to salvation." It's the power of God to salvation. So that word salvation here. See, some people read that and they say that's being saved. And they're correct. But that's not all it is. It's more than that. That word saved. When we look at the words that are translated salvation in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now I'm going to give you some definitions here. You can try to write them down if you want, but you can also listen to the recording and, you know, you'll be able to write stuff down there. I'll give you the sources too. But the word in the Old Testament that's translated salvation means something saved, it means deliverance, it means aid, victory, prosperity. It's translated deliverance, it's translated health, it's translated helping, it's translated save, saving health, welfare. In the New Testament, there's a Greek word, and that means rescue or safety. It's translated deliver, health, salvation, save, saving. A note on the Scofield Reference Bible says this. It says, "The Greek and Hebrew words translated salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and health." I'll say that one more time. The Greek and Hebrew words translated salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and health. Salvation in the Vines Expository Dictionary. So those things that I'm reading right now are from Strong's. Just Strong's exhaustive concordance and Greek dictionary. Those words. But salvation in the Vines Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, it's inclusively to sum up all the blessings bestowed by God on men in Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the Anointed One. Salvation is all that we've been, as that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, has purchased for us. It's not just salvation in the sense of being saved. That means your spirit being recreated so that you are right with God and go to heaven. That's part of it, but it's so much more than this. On your sheet there, Exodus 15, verse 1, this is that word in the Hebrew word. So, you know, Old Testament's Hebrew, New Testament's Greek. It says, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." That's that word. In the New Testament, this word that we read in Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, is that same word. I mean, is the word that we talked about, the Greek word. So it means all the things we just discussed. It doesn't just mean being saved and going to heaven. It means all that God's bestowed. That includes health and wholeness. That's part of that definition. When you're saved, you're in peace, you're in safety, you're in security, you're in health, you're in welfare. And we're going to see that through scriptures, how these words are used in the Bible in different areas. Now, when we talk about the verb that's associated with these, it's the Greek is sozo. That word is sozo. It means, so that's associated with salvation. You can see that, to save or salvation. It means to save, to deliver, to protect, literally or figuratively. Again, this is just from Strong's. In the King James, it's translated this word, sozo. It means heal, it means preserve, it means save, it means to do well, it means to make whole. So this word is much bigger. It's, you can say it's translated saved, but it's also translated heal. And when we talk about the gospel being the power until salvation, we're not just talking about you being saved. We're saying it's the power to make us whole, to make us complete. Remember, we're talking about the Lord our healer. When you see the word Savior, that this word that's translated Savior is again associated with these words. It means a deliverer, that is God or Christ. It's translated Savior. Jesus, the anointed one, is the Savior. He's also the healer. Savior has to do with the idea of healer. Everything you need, He is. He's the Savior. To make you whole and complete in your life, physically, of course, spiritually. See, He doesn't just heal your spirit. You get a new one. When we're born again, He doesn't patch our spirit. We're recreated. That old man, it was dead. Amen. He was already dead. You were dead to God. But when we receive, how do we receive? We believe on Jesus. Something happens. That power flows. Our spirit, the part you can't see, see, we're three parts. Man is a spirit and will reside forever. We'll live forever somewhere. We have a soul, that's our mind, will, and emotions. You'll retain that. And you have a body. You live in a body. But your body is not you. No more than the car that you drove in or the bus you came in is you. That's your mode of transportation. That's how you got here. Well, the body that you're looking at right now, it's just your mode of transportation on this earth. It's not you. It's not me. You think it's you just because you're so closely associated, but it's really like how a glove is to a hand. It looks like, if you just were to look at it, it looks like the glove is the hand, but it's not. You can take the glove off. The hand is what's really animating the glove. When you take the hand out of the glove does nothing. That's the same thing with your body. Our bodies are not us. When we get saved, our spirits are recreated, brand new, but nothing happened to your body. I'm talking about that, when you're talking about being born again, salvation, you know, the color of your skin was the same color. Color of your eyes, same color. However much hair you had, didn't change. You know? But now I'm not talking about being healed as part of salvation. When you receive being born again, you look the same. Your mind, thankfully, is not erased. Does not become renewed. Otherwise, all of a sudden, you'd be like, where am I? How'd I get here? What's my name? Who are you? What is this place? You've been born again. I've been born what? Number one, you wouldn't even know what they're talking about because your mind's been erased. You'd have to learn English all over, or whatever your native language is. So thank God that doesn't happen. No, when we're born again, our spirits are recreated. We receive that. That's how, when you're saved, when we use that, we're really a lot of times talking about being recreated on the inside, what the Bible calls being born again. But that's not all Jesus provided in the package of salvation. Much, much more than that. If you need relational healing, you know, in your marriage, Jesus provided that. His ways, His word will work. Mm-hmm. Bodily healing, mind healing. You know, your mind, when we say your mind, let's talk about your brain, because your brain is different than your mind. Say, how's that? Your mind, you're going to have your mind when your brain's in the grave. Did you hear me?
Yes.
In other words, you're going to go to heaven. You're still going to know about your experiences on earth. Just because your physical circuit here, your brain, is dead, that doesn't mean you lost your mind. And you can have a problem in your brain just like you can have a problem in your arm. See, people separate mental conditions with physical, but all it is is a malfunction in a different part of your body. That's all it is. Your mind can be sound and you have a function, something malfunctioning in your brain that doesn't allow you to interact well and doesn't allow your mind to function anymore through your brain. Your brain's just physical organ. That's all it is. So don't separate them. God's able to do anything with any part of your body. He made the whole thing. Conditions in the mind aren't... You see, people say, you know, you can be sick in your mind just like you can be sick in your body. It's not different. It's not worse. Whoa, that guy has a mental problem. You could just have a brain problem. It's just like, you know, people look at that different sometimes, but they don't look at any different. They look at like something with your knee as, well, that's different. Well, not really. Could be, depends on how it got there, but if it's a malfunction, it's just a physical problem. But God, through Jesus, has provided salvation for all these things. Salvation includes physical healing. Now let's go through, we're not going to take time to turn to all, we might turn to a few of them, but let's look at, we just read this word sozo. Which, just to say it again before we look at these scriptures, it means to deliver, to protect. It's translated heal, preserve, save, do well, make whole. Now I want us to go through some of these places. This is the same word. The parts that are underlined, essentially, I mean, in these scriptures, they're all the same word. And look at how the Bible treats this. It's the same. Now, this is a derivative or a form of the word that we just read in Romans 1:16, where we said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is a form of that word, to save, is this word we're talking about. Now, look at Matthew 10:22. It says, now these are a few, I have these few that we're reading here is how people tradition, or a lot of Christians think of being saved. These things right here, these first ones we're going to read, people say, oh yeah, that's saved. But look at Matthew 10:22, just on your sheet. You know, there's too many scriptures here, we're not going to be able to just turn to all of them. But Matthew 10:22 says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, this is Jesus, but he who endures to the end will be saved. That's this word. Well, people say, well, yeah, that's what saved means. Okay. Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Shall be saved. That's this word. To be saved. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is telling us how to get born again. That's that word. This is the power of God unto salvation. Here it's saying saved. That's the word that encompasses all that God has done to deliver. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's that other word. That's a different form of the word that means salvation. So you're saying this is how you get saved. You're confessing unto salvation. This is the deliverance, the Savior. So everybody would, a lot of people would say, yeah, that's what that means. And it does. You believe on Lord Jesus Christ. Right here, it tells us how to get born again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is how you get born again. Romans 10:13, just a few verses back, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo. But that's not all it means in the Bible. Now you talk about the definitions, but now we're going to read scriptures that show how that same word is used in different areas. Same word. Matthew 9:21 through 22. For she said to herself, this is the woman with the issue of blood. If you're familiar with that story, didn't include the whole thing here, but this is the portion of that. This is that lady that's gone to all these physicians, used all her money, can't find a way to get healed. And she says, she has heard about Jesus. You know what she's heard about Jesus. You know, Jesus, he said when he sat down in the synagogue, Luke 4, he said, God has anointed me. He read from Isaiah. What did he preach? He told people he was anointed. See, so she's heard about Jesus. And so then she says to herself, verse 21, she said to herself, if I may only touch his garment, I shall be made well. Shall be made well is sozo. It's saved. It's the same thing as we just read in Romans. If you believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. That's what this lady's saying. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. What she's saying is, I'll be saved. But she's not talking about born again. She's talking about her body. Verse 22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Same word. Your faith has saved you. Is he talking about you were just born again? No. She was healed. She was healed. Let's keep going. Mark 5:22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, so you're familiar with this story, this is Jairus, his daughter is near death, and he's coming to Jesus for her to be well. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogues came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet, begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. That word, she may be healed, same word. He's saying that she may be saved. What? But that if you know the end of the story, Jesus came, raised her up. They thought she was dead. He said, she's sleeping, raised her up, she's well. Well, that's not being born again. Her body was healed. Let's look at Mark 10:50. Now this is a blind man. Verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. He didn't come to him and say that you had saved my soul or be born again. He didn't know what that probably meant. He wants his eyes to be well. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Same word. Your faith has saved you. Romans 1:16, we said the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the anointed one, is the power of God unto salvation. Well, of course that includes being born again. We just seen a woman with issue of blood being saved, dried up. Girl that was dead, raised up. Man that was blind, received sight. That's all included. Luke 17, verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed?" He's talking about these 10 lepers. One came back and glorified God. He said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Same thing. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has delivered you. From what? From leprosy. The power of God will deliver us from anything that Satan would want to bind us with. He is the Savior. Period. There are no qualifications on that. There is nothing he cannot do if we'll allow him. There's nothing. There is nothing in our physical bodies that he cannot make right. Period. When we say he's the Savior, when we talk about being saved, it is complete. His work is finished. He is the anointed one. He's been anointed. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Anyone that would come to him, like we read, anybody that would come to him in faith was healed. Keep going. Acts 14:9. We read this earlier, but now look at it in a little bit different light. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing, this is in Lystra, the one that we read earlier when he had Christ preach to him, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, I switched. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith, what? To be healed. What's that? To be saved, to have salvation. Is he talking about being born again? No. Because what's the next part of it? He said to him in a loud voice, "Stand up straight." He didn't say call out to Jesus and be born again. He could see that he had faith to have sozo, to be saved. And he said, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man leaped and walked. See, he was hearing about Jesus. And faith came and he acted on it. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well?" This is the man with Peter and John going to pray and prayed for that guy and went walking and leaping and praising God. You ever hear that song? Not going to sing it. But that's what they're discussing here. They're saying, Peter's saying, "We this day are judged for a good deed to a helpless man. By what means he has been made well? By what means he's been saved? By what means he's been healed?" They're not talking about condition of his spirit. They're talking about the fact that the man was begging there and now can walk. That's the power of God unto salvation. James 5, verse 14, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That oil is a type. A type of what? A type of the Holy Spirit, a type of the anointing. See, the Holy Spirit coming upon is the anointing. Jesus was anointed with what? With the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. This oil is not magic oil. I use olive oil. I don't even know what brand it is. I could go look at home, but you know, I have a little thing of it up here. I don't even know what brand it is. It's not the oil. It's the type. It's being obedient. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, His power that comes on and heals. It's not the oil. But look at what it says here. Is anyone among you sick? Now, we covered this a couple weeks ago. Who will God heal? Well, you can't ask this question. In the church, this is saying, is any among you sick? Well, you can't ask this question if it's God's will for some people to be healed and some people not to be healed. It doesn't make any sense. Because of where he goes with this, let's read. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's in the stead, in the authority of Jesus. Remember, it's a gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. What Jesus came and did is the gospel. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, what? Will save the sick. See, if you just read that and you don't understand what we're talking about today, you say, well, what, he just switched to being born again? No, he didn't. That word save the sick means healed. What we're talking about, that's sozo again. That means to be healed. The prayer of faith, see, it's not the oil. It's faith. The prayer of faith is what makes the healing flow. But what will that do? It will save the sick, or it will heal the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So how could you say in verse 14, how could you even make these sentences? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Those are definite things. How could you say that if it was God's will ever for anybody to stay sick? Right. You could not make, because if anybody's sick, unless it's one of those ones that God had marked out and it's not actually your time, because then this doesn't make any sense. You can't do it because you're going to run into a roadblock at the end when it says that it will save the sick, will heal the sick. But those words right there will save the sick. Same thing. Healed. So we've seen. Look at all the. If we go back over and look at the parts that are underlined, it means to be saved. If we go back up to Matthew 10:22. Will be saved, shall be saved, will be saved. Shall be saved, be made well, has made you well, may be healed, has made you well, to be healed, been made well, will save the sick. Are you getting the picture? That's the gospel of Christ. What was done on the cross? What was done with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when he took those stripes, when he took that chastisement, which we're going to get to that, not today. But when he took that punishment, he was doing it for us, and he was paying for the salvation, the total and complete salvation that you and I have access to. And that includes our physical bodies being whole and healthy, being healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing that he can't heal. Now, Jesus went about preaching that he was anointed. But we see Philip preached Christ. Peter preached Christ, didn't talk about it today. Paul's preaching. What's Christ? He's preaching the anointed one. He's preaching who Jesus was and is, and preaching what Jesus did for us. And you know that's exactly what's going on right now. We're declaring what Jesus did for us. Yes, thank God that he died and we can be born again, because that trumps everything. You're going to have the healthiest body for the few decades you're here, but if you're not born again, it's not going to make any difference. Born again, being in the family of God, trumps everything. Thank God for what he did, but he didn't stop there. His salvation, the salvation of God, included everything, including anything, any physical ailment that we could ever face on this earth. Anything that they came into contact with back 2,000 years ago, well, that was then. They had, you know, easy diseases. Really? Okay, so being crippled from your mother's womb's easy, being blind, having some kind of blood condition that, you know, has been going on for years and years. People that can't hear. Maimed. People that were hurt somehow. I mean, you look at the categories. We may have some different diseases now, but it's all under what Jesus has done. He has not left anything out. And anything we need now has already been included in salvation, in him being the Savior, in him being able to save, which is him being able to heal. He can do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the gospel of Christ. This is what when Paul is saying in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. This is what he's talking about. Hallelujah. How does this happen? How does we make it real in our lives? We believe it. We believe it. The same way that man that was listening to Paul, he believed something and he started to say, I can be healed. Well, if somebody who's never walked can stand there and say, I can be healed, it doesn't matter what we're facing. If we'll just believe it and say, yeah, that's for me. Jesus did it. I believe that. That's the switch that starts letting the power flow, and we receive what he did for us. It's just a switch. I said it's just a switch. That's it. Say, oh, no, it's hard. You got to try. No, no. If there's a man that's listening to Paul, do you think how long did he study? Huh? How many MP3s had he listened to? How many times had he gone over in the Bible and confessed it every morning?
No.
Huh?
No. None.
No, so we've gotten that in our head and it's become a roadblock. We need to get back to it just being easy. What we're talking about is the gospel.
That's right.
You say, well, yeah, I believe it. It just, you know, sometimes we get caught up because we look at something, it didn't happen right away, so then we're like, well, it didn't happen. Go read, if we read the Bible, not everything happens instantaneously. We believe. I just, when you turn those lights on, what you may think it's instantaneous, but it takes at least some time for that power to flow. It doesn't, if you were to say, well, the power's not flowing because the lights didn't come on. It's not true. And just, it's a switch. What people do is they turn the switch on, but then they say, oh, well, it hasn't happened yet, and they turn it right back off. Well, nothing's going to happen if the switch is off. We believe what we're talking about right here, what Jesus did, and then you know what? You just keep that switch of faith turned on and said, oh, no, He did it. I believe it. It's working. It's working. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Salvation has been provided by Him.